Sabres versus Wild coming Friday night in Buffalo. We will preview tonight's game and look at, I think, one of the more interesting teams in the Western Conference this season. They have had a big upstart in terms of their goal production, and they're a much more exciting team. Sabres and Wild Friday night. We'll talk about it next here on Locked On Sabres.
You're Locked On Sabres, your daily podcast on the Buffalo Sabres. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks for making Locked On Sabres your first listen every day. We are free and available on all platforms. Joe DiBiase flying solo here on the Thursday night, Friday morning episode of today's show. Going to get you ready for Sabres and Wild on today's show. We'll go through the betting odds a little bit later on. I've got some betting trends on tonight's game that are very interesting to look at, especially with the Sabres opponent in Minnesota. We'll look at what the Wild have been doing this season. They're having a great year, and we'll kind of go through that and who's playing well, what their lines look like, what to expect in net. They did play last night, so we should have a good idea of who's going to be in goal for the Wild. And then some updates on the Sabres, both on the line combinations as well as on the injury front as well. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at Sneaky Joe Sports. Jordan's at JR Hanskin. The podcast account is at Locked On Sabres. And be sure to check out our YouTube channel. If you listen to us day to day and you want a video component of the show, you can always check out our Locked On Sabres YouTube channel where you can watch us full episodes as well as some shorter clips as well there. Injury updates for the Sabres is where we'll start before we get to the matchup itself and tonight's opponent. Colin Miller returned to the ice for the Sabres at practice on Thursday. This is very important when it comes to the trade deadline. We are 17 days away, or 18, depending on when you're listening. I'm imagining most on Friday morning. So I'm going to go with 17. 17 days until the NHL trade deadline. And Colin Miller, Miller's the most interesting name. He's the most valuable name among the pending UFAs. I mean, Robert Hägg is a nice third pair defenseman. Mark Pesek is a nice bottom two pair defenseman. But Miller could really step in and play a big role for a team on a top two pair, power play minutes, PK, just kind of an all-around defenseman that's got a hard shot. He's a good puck mover. He's not fast, but he's not super slow also. And there are a lot of GMs out there that'll put a lot of stock in the fact that Colin Miller has Stanley Cup final experience as a top pair defenseman for the Vegas Golden Knights a couple of years ago. So when he was injured a couple months ago, had surgery, my first thought, and many Sabre fans and media first thought, was, well, is he back by the trade deadline? Because this is a guy that we would be hoping to sell. He's not going to be here long term. It'd be stunning to me if Colin Miller signed up to be back in Buffalo after this year. He's going to want to play for a contender. He's going to have the opportunity to play for a contender, and I'd imagine that's where he'll end up going. So move on, because he's not staying here long-term anyway. And this is a guy that, again, you could get something of value for. Now, Elliot Friedman, a couple months ago, had that one note in 32 Thoughts that the Sabres could get a first-round pick for Colin Miller, or at least the ask was for a first-round pick, and they were hopeful that they would be able to pull that off. Now, I'm not optimistic on that. Now, they're asking for a first. History would tell you a third is more likely. Last year, Brandon Montour gets sent to the Florida Panthers, probably the same situation. The Sabres are asking for a first, maybe hoping for a second, and they end up having to settle for a third because that's what the market was dictating. Will this market be the same? I would imagine it's going to be similar. A lot of general managers in the NHL have kind of smartened up and realized that these spare part rentals, even for a player that you might consider to be pretty good, it's not worth a first. It's not worth a second. And these mid-round picks are now what's being thrown around a lot more often. So the Sabres are asking for a first on Colin Miller. I would imagine it's going to be a second or a third, and that the best they could end up doing is a second. I would be stunned if they ended up getting a first. I won't completely rule it out because crazy things can happen at the deadline even still, despite the fact it doesn't happen as much. But I would expect a second or a third for Miller Good news that he's back on the ice. Get a couple of games in for the Sabres. Show that he can shake off the rust a little bit, and then he can jump right in with a playoff team in the next couple of weeks. But I think his Sabre career is coming to a close. Maybe next week for him, game-wise, probably not against Minnesota, and probably not on Sunday against the Kings, but don't hold me to that, because Don Granato didn't have a ton of info when it came to Miller yesterday, Thursday. Vinny Hino-Stroza will return this weekend, another player that could be available at the deadline. He's on a one-year deal. I like the idea, kind of like Pesek, of keeping Hino-Stroza. Some of these guys are going to have to stick around on one-year deals, and I like Hino-Stroza for that 16-goal pace over 82 games this year. He's been on a top-six line many times for the Sabres this year, fast. He's got some finishing ability, but another guy that could be valuable at the deadline for a playoff team on a bottom six role. And then Zemgus Girgensons, injury update on him. He's expected back at practice next week. So still a little bit away from Girgensons returning to game action, but should be back on the ice for practice next week. So what does that mean for the Sabres? It means their line combinations are going to be basically the same as they've been for a couple of games now, with Tage Thompson, Alex Tuch, and Jeff Skinner being line one, Dylan Cousins, Kyle Okposo, and Casey Mittelstadt is line two. And I love that line. I like the Cousins-Okposo pairing. I think that they play really well together. They feed well off each other. Okposo is all about puck possession. I think Cousins ideally wants to play that style as well, that puck possession style. Remember the log line from 2 years ago with Johan Larsson, Zemgus Girgensons, and Kyle Okposo? They couldn't score goals, but they always had the puck. They worked the walls, they worked the corners, they worked the front of the net. They just were not going to let you touch the puck. And they were a great third line, not because they scored, but they prevented the other team from scoring. And the way they did that was they always had the puck. I feel like that's the way Cousins wants to play. But Cousins also has a higher level of playmaking ability than Larsson did. And I think that's meshing well with Okposo, because Okposo is a good finisher at this point in his career too. Like, that shot has not gone away. One of his best assets, is what best traits still, is that wrist shot. So I like Cousins and Okposo working well together. Mittelstadt doesn't really fit that style, but I like him on the wing. And these are the best two players he's going to get to play with. So the style doesn't really mesh, but the quality of line mate, I think, is the right match for Mittelstadt. I'm ready to see Mittelstadt on the wing the rest of the year. I think I'm kind of giving up on him at center, and I'll be careful with that, because I would have never thought Tage Thompson could be a centerman, and he's doing it this year at a super high level. So crazier things have happened, but I'm expecting Mittelstadt to maybe kind of become a winger here going forward. And he's kind of not a natural fit for that either, because he's a playmaker. He wants to be a passer. And maybe he's a fit with Thompson down the road, because Thompson's maybe more of a finisher from the center ice position. I don't love Cousins with Mittelstadt. I think they both kind of want the puck on their stick. They want to generate the play themselves and kind of set other guys up. But I like Mittelstadt on the wing, and these are the best two scorers he's going to get. And while Cousins wants to be a playmaker, he doesn't as much as Peyton Krebs does. And Krebs and Mittelstadt, to me, is a horrible match. So this is the spot for Mittelstadt. He's not having a great year, but he's been hurt, so you kind of got to give him a little bit of a pass. So I like that second line. Anyways, continuing on with the Sabres lineup, third line, Peyton Krebs, Victor Olofsson, and Rasmus Asplund. Line four, the worst line in hockey, in my opinion. Cody Eakin, John Hayden, and Anders Bjork. The defense pairings, Rasmus Dahlin, Jacob Bryson should be back together. Bryson on his offside with Joakim Haru out. Matias Samuelsson, Casey Fitzgerald as the second pair, and then Robert Hägg and Mark Pesek as the third pair. I've got no clue who's going to be between the pipes. Anderson played well against Toronto. Maybe they ride the hot hand. Could be Tokarski. No idea. Maybe they go Anderson, so they go Tokarski against Colorado or against LA on Sunday night. We will talk Wild. Hey, if you haven't been watching Minnesota, they're fun. They're fun. This is not your typical Minnesota Wild roster and style of game that you might be used to. So we'll preview the Sabres opponent, what's been going on with them, what their lineup's going to look like, and then we'll get into some of the betting odds and trends as well later on here on Locked On Sabres. And when we do that, we will be heading over to betonline.net for all the latest lines and all the latest prop bets. Football season might be over, but basketball and hockey are both in full steam for both pro and college. From the latest odds, totals, player performance props to where the next fired coach is going to land, betonline.net is the number one spot for all your sports betting needs. And it's not just basketball and hockey. BetOnline.net is your source for boxing and UFC as well. Huge fight coming up this weekend between Jorge Masvidal and Colby Covington. So head over to BetOnline. It's not just the odds. You can get good coverage in terms of information and podcasts as well. Head to their website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. BetOnline, where the game starts. Joe DiBiase here on the Locked On Sabres podcast. Always appreciate everyone making us your first listen every day. Now, be sure after we're done, make your second listen. Locked On Now, nightly recaps of every NHL game with analysis from our local experts. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts. I'm recording this Thursday night. One of those games you can get a recap on is the Golden Knights and the Bruins. I just saw Jack Eichel score on a breakaway, and I am convinced that he completely on accident did the Nikita Kucherov move where Kucherov kind of stick handles back and forth and he pretends that he loses the puck. I think Eichel actually loses the puck here. Go watch that goal and tweet us at Locked On Sabres what you think that was, because I think he absolutely did that on accident. I think the slow motion kind of shows that he lost it. But anyways, if you didn't see the play, you probably don't know what I'm talking about. So we'll move on. The Minnesota Wild, it's the Sabres opponent on Friday night. The Wild had their first win in five games on Thursday night against the Philadelphia Flyers. They came from behind several times to win 5-4, a late goal by Matthew Boldy. You might recall that name. That name might sound familiar. Matthew Boldy was one name we spent a lot of time thinking about, talking about, and getting others' opinions on from our friends over at Locked On Wild when we were going through the offseason and all the trade, the Jack Eichel trade sweepstakes. The Wild were mentioned with Eichel. In fact, Eichel said on John Buchagross' show, The Point on ESPN, after the Sabres had traded him, that there was a point in time where he thought he was going to Minnesota. He thought the Wild were going to get that deal done. So it sounds like the Wild may have gotten very close at one point to trading for Jack Eichel. And if that had happened, my guess is Matthew Boldy would currently be a Buffalo Sabre. I don't know how much more they would have gotten on top of him, but he was the prospect that we were always kind of talking about and thinking about. I've done some more research on him in the past couple of days and weeks because on my fantasy hockey team, I added him on waivers a couple of days ago because he's been awesome in his rookie season for Minnesota. 18 points in 20 games. He scored the game winner against Philadelphia on Thursday night. There is speed there. There is size. There is finishing ability, stick handling. He's just kind of a complete all-around player, especially offensively. And I've been super impressed with him in the little bit that I've seen. The point totals are obviously there. He's almost a point a game through the first 20 games of his career at, 20 years old. So look out for Matthew Boldy. Not to be frustrated that the Sabres don't have him, but, you know, sometimes you think about these prospects and what becomes of them. I know Robert Thomas, that's happened for me in St. Louis, because we once thought he would be in a Ryan O'Reilly trade. He wasn't. I like to keep tabs on these guys, and Boldy's going to be one of those guys that's a kind of a what if Minnesota had traded for Eichel and not Vegas, because he could have been very easily a Buffalo Sabre. The leading scorers on Minnesota, you're not going to be surprised that Kirill Kaprizov is the leader with 64 points in 50 games played. He has been dynamite for them in his second year. He is awesome. He is an elite offensive player in this league, one of the best wingers in the sport. Matt Zuccarello in second, a huge resurgence by Zuccarello at 34 years old, 53 points. The goal total isn't high, just 17, but 36 assists for 53 points in 44 games played. Kevin Fiala in third, 44 points in 51 games played. Ryan Hartman, 37 points. Joel Eriksson Ek, 29. And then our old friend Marcus Foligno having a career season for the Minnesota Wild in 47 games. The point total's not very high at 28, but a career season in goal scoring, 18 goals in 47 games played. He is going to reach 20 goals for the first time in his career. He has already reached his career high in goals. His previous high was with the Sabres, his final year with the Sabres in 2016-17 when he scored 13. He's already at 18 this year in 47 games played. Now, is this Marcus Foligno? He's not a 20-goal scorer. This is a career year. It happens once in a while for players like this. He has a 26.1% shooting percentage. That is going to come crashing down to earth someday for Foligno. And actually, that's kind of part of the story for the Wild this season. While I do believe they're a very good team, I think they're going to make the playoffs. I'll double-check. I don't have the standings written down in front of me because I wasn't planning on talking about the playoff race for Minnesota. But they're in third place in the Central, 67 points in 52 games played. That's 3 points behind St. Louis for second in that division. And what are we? They're 4 points ahead of Dallas for a playoff spot. So they're probably good, but they're not quite in yet. I think they're a legitimately good team. They're plus 30 in terms of goal differential. I think they're a very good team. Are they a cup contender? I'm not ready to jump to that just yet. And the shooting percentage is mentioned with Foligno. That's kind of the story of their season team-wise. They are third in the NHL in PDO. PDO is a stat that it's not perfect, but it gives you a good sense of who's getting lucky. It's just a combination of shooting percentage and save percentage. They are third in the league in PDO. They're 11th in expected goals for. They're 14th in Corsi for percentage. I think they're closer to 11th, where their expected goals for total is in the league, than third, which is where they are in PDO. I think they're a borderline top 10 team. They are good, but they're not elite. They're fun. They're more fun than they've ever been. Kaprizov has really played into that. They're fast. They score goals. They're a fun team, but they are not a Stanley Cup contender. I don't think that they'll get there. I think the goaltending might regress a little bit in the playoffs. Cam Talbot and Kaapo Kakkonen. Kakkonen's the one the Sabres should see, by the way, on Friday night. Talbot started against the Flyers last night. Kakkonen should be going against the Sabres. A 917 save percentage. He's been good. He's good. He's one of the better backup goaltenders, if you want to call him that, in the league. It's more of a 1B, as many guys are in today's game. But that's who the Sabres should see between the pipes. But that's kind of my read on Minnesota, is they're good. Are they great? You could argue it. I'm going to stop you before you get to cup contender, though. Definitely before you get to cup contender. We will preview Sabres and Wild now from a betting perspective here on the Locked On Sabres podcast. Head over to betonline.net for all the latest props, the player props as well. You can bet any one of these players for tonight's game to score the first goal. Those are always fun because you get really long shot odds. The bet's over quickly. So if you want more action on the game a little bit later on, it's over quick, assuming there's a goal, you know, within the first couple of periods. And then you can move on from there if you want something else to do during the game. On the money line for Sabres and Wild, Minnesota minus 193, the Sabres plus 173. So that's an implied win probability of 63% for Minnesota, 37% for Buffalo. The Wild are 25-8-1 as favorites this season. The Sabres as underdogs, it's every game this season but three. They're 15-29-8. The Wild do very well as the favorite. And minus 193, that's not crazy. I don't usually like looking at bets that are minus odds, but it's not nuts, and they're obviously the better team. They're going to have the advantage in net, regardless of who starts for the Sabres. The puck line for tonight's game, Minnesota plus 125 with the -1.5 goals. Buffalo at +1.5 are minus 145. On the puck line, the over under in this game, that's where I really want to focus for tonight. That's my favorite bet of the night. The over under is 6.5. I bet the Sabres under against Toronto on Wednesday night's game. I bet the under on 6.5 goals because 6.5 is such a high total for these games in the NHL. The Sabres twice now have had games with that high of a total. The odds aren't as good because they were plus odds against Toronto. Here they are at plus 100 for the under. So it's right on, you know, the even line. The Wild hit the over the second most in the NHL. They are 32-19-1 on the over. 32 of their games hit the over, 19 of their games hit the under, and one game pushed. Now the Sabres are much closer to 500 there. 25 games have hit the over for the Sabres, 26 on the under, and 4 have been pushes. So for the Sabres, the trend is it's right down the middle. For the Wild, they hit the over the second most in hockey. But 6.5 is the number. That's a high number. I think I want to be on the over here, though. While it's a high number, Minnesota, they score goals. The Sabres, they score goals. They like to play an up-and-down style. Minnesota's not Toronto for this, but I think the Sabres and the Wild are going to hit on that over 6.5. That's my favorite bet of the night. It's the one that I will be taking for Friday night's game. That's going to do it, though, for us. Reminder that if you missed our last episode when we recapped Sabres and Leafs, me and Jordan spun the wheel of blue and gold. Jordan leads by one goal on the season. He is +1 on me for the season with the punishment of taking the SAT coming at the end of the season. He's +1. He has Sam Reinhart Friday night against the Ottawa Senators. He got the Sabre alum spot on the wheel. He picked Sam Reinhart of Florida, and I got Robert Hägg against the Wild. So not great odds for me, but fingers crossed, Robert Hägg gets a goal in this game. I think he has one all season for the Sabres. Reinhardt's got like 18 for Florida. So enjoy the game. We will talk about it when it is all set and done. Jordan will rejoin me here on the show. Again, feel free to follow us on Twitter. I'm at Sneaky Joe Sports. The podcast account's at Locked On Sabres. And if you're looking for Jordan on Twitter, it's at JR Hanskin, HANSGEN, if you're looking for his handle. Thanks for making Locked On Sabres your first listen every day. Now go make your second listen, Locked On Fantasy Hockey. Host Steele Roden and Flip Livingstone help you become the expert of your fantasy league. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts. Enjoy Sabres and Wild, and we'll talk to you after the game here on Locked On Sabres.